Again, this is part five, would you believe, of our series on the force of joy, which I really thought was only going to be one or two parts, but this is part five. So don't forget, if you want to listen to these, and I know some of you do, it's just on our website, free of charge. You can listen to these over and over again, and I get people ringing out and say how much they're enjoying listening to them. They got more than they did on the first time, which is great. So this one is part two. This one is Don't Let Satan Steal Your Joy. And I've been around long enough to realize that Satan is coming to steal our joy. He's going to do everything he can. So it doesn't matter, and as that picture shows, it doesn't matter if you get caught in the rain, don't let Satan steal your joy. To declare something, it makes a decision. And you can get up in the morning, you can choose to say, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. The neighbors were up all night. Or you can choose to say, no, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what the circumstances are. I choose to rejoice in the Lord. Right. It's the choice that you make. And there's a lot of things coming at you. You just got to be alive in this life and get up every day. There's something that's going to come towards you. And most of the time, it's not going to be great. There's going to be someone's going to upset you on the road. There's going to be something that's going to come at you. And you can choose to go down that path and go with the feeling or go with what the Word says. And you can choose joy. And you can get all upset about the weather. And maybe some people got upset about the weather. You know, the forecast said it was going to rain, it's going to be windy. Well, I choose to rejoice in all circumstances. And there's no doubt about this. Satan actually wants to steal your joy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole mission in life. He'll steal anything he can if you'll let him. That's the key, if you'll let him. So he has to get permission from you to steal something. And but you should be on guard. Be careful, because he's out to steal something from you. And now he does that. Once he steals something, he wants to kill you. He's a murderer, and Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning. So he's not a nice being. He wants to murder you. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care your circumstances, your situation. He wants to murder you. He wants to kill you. And then he wants to destroy everything about you. And he's no respecter of person. He doesn't respect you as a person. He doesn't care if you're a child or you're an aged person. He doesn't respect that. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole mission. And he comes for the Word's sake. So every time that you hear the Word, he wants to come in the next few hours and steal that Word away. That's his. So he knows if you get the Word and you meditate the Word, it becomes a seed and it starts to grow in your life and it changes your situation. So he'll come and try to steal the Word away from you. And there'll be no doubt about it. Today he'll come and try to steal the Word that's sown in your heart today. So Satan knows that if he can get the Word out of your life, he's got you where he can steal from you at every opportunity. You got no protection. There's no Word in you to protect you. So it's so important. And he wants to do that, and he comes first to steal your joy. So once he's stolen your joy, you're open. You're an open door for him. And so some of the things that I mentioned last week that I'll go over again today, things that he likes to steal. He wants to steal your healing. And remember, I would encourage you to get that message last week. Because that was, I believe, was a cornerstone message for your healing. And as I said last week, what Jesus has done for you, he's won for you on the cross. And so it says that we are the healed. So if you are the healed, and that's what he calls you, then if you're sick, then your healing's stolen. It belongs to you. So demand it back. So if a Christian is sick, that means that Satan has stolen the healing that belongs to you. So sickness has got no right to be on the temple of God. So your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What right has Satan to put sickness upon you when you are called to heal? It's been paid for. So you want to get that. So he comes to steal your healing. He'll steal your job, your joy, your money, your peace, your relationships, your reputation, and above all, he wants to steal the Word. Now, I want you to understand that these things I mentioned, they all belong to you. All those things I mentioned, they're yours. Satan is after your stuff. And I won't go into what we spoke about last week, but the examples I used about how he steals and how he's stolen from me in the past. But I want to go to this scripture which I finished on last week, and it was Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 33. And I won't go in the first part of that, but it's a great passage to read in your own time. But partly why you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly why you became companions of those who were so treated. For you have had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. So here these Hebrews were made a spectacle, and there was great reproach that was put upon them. And they also associated with those who were being murdered. And Paul says, you've also associated with me in my troubles. But then he says, but you joyfully accept the plundering of your goods. And it's amazing to think these people joyfully accepted the stealing of their goods. They were joyful when the goods were stolen. So let's keep reading. And it says there, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your confidence in God has got great reward. So in the New Living Translation, I'm going to read that. It says, sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who are suffering the same things. Your suffering, along with those who were thrown into jail, and those, so when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew, so can you just drop that for us, thanks. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. And this is the key, that if Satan steals from you, you can ask God to repay seven times. And it's not in heaven. Who wants finances in heaven? Who wants, well, you don't need it. Because in heaven, there's an abundance. There's everything you need. I need it now. I want my healing now. I want those things stolen from me repaid now. Right now in this life. Because in heaven, I've got a supernatural body that will, no sickness comes in heaven. No disease. No lack in heaven. So I want it right now, in this life. And you should too, because if it's stolen from you, you want it right now. That's when you want it for. And so these men and women joyfully accepted that was stolen from them. They wouldn't let God, let Satan steal their joy. Even though everything it says there, all their possession, that means their home, their businesses, their cars or their horses or the donkeys or whatever they transport they had, everything was stolen from them. They had nothing, but they remained joyful, knowing that God was going to repay them seven times. That's an amazing thing. And that's the confidence, that's the joy they have to. So your joy has to be linked up to the unseen realm in heaven where God will repay us. And then it goes on to saying that this is why they accept it, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So important that we do that. Did I jump a verse there? Maybe I did. Yeah. I missed out the verse 35. My apologies. You'll have to look up. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. Trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. So important that God is about rewarding. So many Christians don't get this, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's not some sort of God that's far off and says, hang on, you just live a mild, meek and mild life and just barely getting by. No, God wants to abundantly reward you. And everywhere I look in the scripture, he talks about reward. He talks about increase, about abundance. That's what he's about. He wants to reward you. Satan wants to steal, God wants to give. That's it. You know, God is a good God. All the time, God is good. So over to John 16 and verse 33. And these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Now, this is an interesting passage, because most Christians tend to stop right here. They stop right here. And they accept that there's going to be troubles and there's going to be tribulations. Because that's what Jesus said. Did he not? Is this what Jesus was talking here? Jesus said, these things I've spoken, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. So is Jesus saying that in the world you can have tribulation and trials? There is. Now who knows what the word B-U-T means in a sentence? Yep, so when I went to school, which was a fair while ago, what it meant was, I haven't finished speaking yet. And everything I said before is now wiped away by what I'm going to say next. So I might have said that now, but means, wait for it, here's something that's going to change the situation. And this is what Jesus said. But be of good cheer. Rejoice.
Yes.
I have overcome the world. See, Jesus was making a statement, you're going to have peace, but the world wants to bring tribulation. He's brought peace, the world wants to bring tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome that. Everything that Jesus won, you get without any trial, without any struggle, without any toil. It's yours. See, Jesus is saying, if you stay hidden in me, walking the love walk, holding on to your joy, then nothing that the enemy can have is going to hurt you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Even 1,000 may fall to my right and 1,000 to my left, I can walk through that, not being troubled by that at all. And this is the promise. God never promised us that you won't see these things happening, but he promised it will not come near you. See, this thing, you can see many Christians see the issues, and they start to fear and be afraid. You know, Peter got out of the boat. He had great faith at the beginning. But then when he saw the wind and the waves, that's what got his attention. And Jesus said, oh, you little faith. And that's what he said. Don't look at the situation. Look at my word. Look at me. I will take you through that. I'll lead you through this situation. And nothing will harm you. Oh, there's a lot of things that will come screaming at us, and that's what the enemy does. He throws up all these negative reports to us that if you choose to believe them, then you'll have those. I choose to believe the word. I don't care what doctors say. I don't care what the bank balance says. I choose what the word says. And this is the key. See, many afflictions will come your way, but the Lord delivers you out of them all when you stay in faith, in love, and full of joy. And the word says, be of good cheer. But in the Psalms, Psalm 34 and verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It's saying there's many afflictions that come to you, but your deliverance is there. But every situation, every trouble that comes, the Lord will deliver you out of them all. There's a way of escape. He's made that way of escape for us. So, as I said before, it's not a sin to be sick. Not at all. You've just got to be alive in this world for sickness to come. But healing belongs to you. So every time the sickness comes, I say, Satan, you've got no right to put that on there. Get off this temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I am the healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I was healed 2,000 years ago. So if I was healed, what right has sickness got to be on my body? Go. And just keep doing what you've been called to do. So we have to be of good cheer. And it says there, be of good cheer. Jesus said, be of good cheer. What does it mean to cheer? We sort of almost lost that meaning a little bit. You know, I don't know, Eddie went to the Knights game on Friday night. Wasn't a lot to be cheerful about, but if you go to that, some of those games, they have a bunch of girls standing down on the sideline, the cheerleaders. Now, they sort of get up with their little pom-poms and do the cheer, right? And what it's really designed to do is to encourage you to cheer. Now, we don't do it really good here in Australia, but in the US, they do it very well. I mean, it's a whole art form, this cheerleading. You know, they get up and they'll do, give me a V, they'll do all these sort of things. And what it's designed to do is to get the crowd involved and encouraging and cheering on the team. So to cheer is to encourage others to win, to run the race, to do something. And so we cheer. You know, if you've been to the school carnivals, like all our kids, and we would get on the sideline and cheer them on to try to help them. And when they were encouraged, they seemed to go better. And that's what cheer is all about. So, and the way I cheer myself is I confess Scripture when tribulation comes. So when tribulation comes, I don't go around saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I do. I go back to the Word and I confess what the Word says. Yes. And I remember a particular time, probably around about 10 years ago, when we were facing some financial issues and it almost felt like a big weight. And so I just got out. I went down to the beach and I was on my phone. I had these scriptures I was confessing and meditating on. And I went to Philippians 4:19, which is a great scripture. And I kept confessing it out and loud until I got a deep revelation of what that scripture meant. And Philippians 4:19, it says here, and first I started, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I went to a few others. And then the Holy Spirit said, go back to that scripture. Go back to that and keep confessing it out. So I went and I confessed it out aloud until the Lord began to shine some light on the scripture. And so I kept it. And then the Lord said, and my God. I got a revelation. It was my God. Not somebody else's God. It was my God. And my God. That's the God I know, the God I trust, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I kept confessing that. And the Holy Spirit said, go back to it again. So I said, and my God. And then I changed it. Supply all my needs. So my God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I confessed that. And the Holy Spirit said, you haven't finished with that yet. So again, and my God shall supply all my needs according to whose riches? Whose riches? Now, I was trying my own mind to say, how am I going to do this? How am I going to afford to do this? How is my income or my situation going to do this? How can I meet this with what I've got? But he says, no, I want you to read. It's according to his riches. It's not according to my ability or my resources. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And by the time I confessed this and confessed it 20 or 30 times, the joy of the revelation came. No longer did I focus on the issue because I knew that my God was going to supply all my needs according to his riches. So I just had to rejoice. I didn't allow that situation to get me down anymore. I kept going, and every day of that week, I'd get up and say, and my God, it's the God I know. He's going to supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by what Jesus Christ has done. See, when you meditate the word, when you do that, it starts to change the situation. And that thing that the enemy had came on as something to steal something from me changed. I've never forgotten that because I know it's my God, the one I know. The one and his resources is going to do that for me. See, it's nothing to do with me supplying my need. So I can rejoice in the midst of that tribulation. Now, I could allow that tribulation to get me down. And in the natural, people said, Michael, I think you better go to the bank. I think you get a loan or do something. No, my God, his riches, not mine, not my ability, his ability. His abundant riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Jesus has already done it for us. Remember, he's won the victory for us. You know, the word says, he became poverty. He became poor so that we could be rich. So he paid the price of poverty and being poor that you could be rich. The same way that he took every curse of sickness and it pleased the Father to put sickness upon him. Wow. Why? So you wouldn't have to be sick. So you wouldn't have to be poor. That's what he took on. See, Jesus took all those things upon his own body on the cross so that we wouldn't have to go through it. We could just say, I'll have what he's had. What he won for me, I'll take that. Not by my strength, but what he's done. He's done for us. See, it's not by what you can do physically, it's by what you can believe in your heart. The enemy has been defeated. And it's interesting that Jesus has stored up for these things in a place where the enemy can't touch it. If these things were all stored up on earth, the enemy could get access to it. But it's stored up in heavenly realms, in spiritual realms where the enemy can't touch it, where nothing can corrode it, nothing can steal it. It's there. So it's there in a place for you to make a withdrawal by faith. You can bring it out of the unseen realm into the seen realm because it's by faith. So when you have sickness, when you have lack in your life, it's in the seen realm. Now you take it from the unseen realm and say, now that belongs to me. Healing is mine. Finances are mine. House is mine. Job is mine because it's in that realm. And people go around and say, well, Michael, I can't see that in your life. Well, it's not by what you see. It's by what I believe. It's never going to be what... See, things that you see is temporary. If you can see something, it's subject to change. So you might say, I can see, you know, you've got a sore leg. It's subject to change. What I can see is a leg that's whole. That's what I choose to look at. I choose to look at the things that are not seen because they nullify the thing that's seen. They cancel it out. That's where you go to. Yeah, and that's what the word does. It starts to build up your faith in God's ability and God's willingness to touch your life. So you'll be jumping for joy. See, rejoice in every situation, it says. You know, there was a teaching that was around some time ago that was basically saying that you should rejoice in every situation. But there is nowhere that God gives an opportunity to praise him for evil things. See, there's a difference between, and I'd have people say, well, I'm rejoicing because I got this issue in my life and God's teaching me something with this. I'm rejoicing because things have been stolen from me. No, that scripture didn't say that. See, there's a time to rejoice, and it's to rejoice in God's willingness, his ability to change your situation. See, those Hebrews, they're rejoicing when their things were stolen because they were looking for God to repay them. They were looking for the place that was in heavenly places, not the fact that they were stolen from, not the fact that they had been killed or there was things happening to their friends. No, they're looking for the reward that came from God. You're rejoicing at the fact that God is about to reward you, not rejoicing in the fact that you're sick, not rejoicing in the fact that something's been stolen from you or you've lost your job, which is stealing. Rejoicing in the fact that God has prepared something better for you. Better for you. That's not the way. See, God is not the one who does the evil. So every time you look at a situation that's evil, and sickness is evil, debt, it's not from God. All those sort of things that keep you down, they're not from God. That's what the enemy brings. See, God does not have sickness to give us. He doesn't have it. There's no sickness in heaven, so he can't go into the storeroom in heaven and say, well, okay, I'm going to bring a bit of sickness along and I'm going to give it to you so you can be humble. No, God does not have sickness. And what a father would that be if a father would be giving his child sickness? That's not a father. An earthly father wouldn't do that. What would our heavenly father do? He'd make healing available. He'd make abundance available. That's what he does. He has good things to give us. But the enemy, who is Satan, comes with sickness, comes with lack, comes with these things, disappointments, discouragement, to bring you to a place where you are just crying, complaining about life, wanting to make an easy way out. God is saying, no matter what is coming your way, no matter what Satan is doing to you, don't let him steal your joy. Remember, if he can get your joy, he's got access to all the other things in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Now I want to read it in the Amplified, the last verse in the Amplified version. It says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ, the revealer and mediator of that will. So it's thanks to God, not the situation. You're thankful to God that he's made the way of escape. You thank for God that he's the rewarder. You're not thanking God for the issue, for the thing that Satan's brought along. Why would you thank God for something he hasn't done? Oh, and so many people say, well, you know, it's an act of God, this what's happening. You know, this is all happening because of what God's done. No, God does not bring death. He does not bring destruction. And, you know, the people in the world will say, well, this volcano is an act of God. No, it's not an act of God at all. Who's the God of this earth? It is an act of God of this earth. Who's the God of this earth? Satan. Who's the one responsible for death? God of this earth? Satan. But God said, for you, I have overcome. For your benefit, I have overcome. So you don't have to go through tribulation. Make sure that you are full of joy. Always in every situation, in every circumstance, because healing is yours, deliverance is yours, salvation is yours, abundance is yours. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It matters what it's like on the inside of your life. And that's where your joy is complete. See, does Satan know that it's God, that what God has given you? Does he know what God's given you? Well, he does. That's why he wants to steal it. He knows the word. You know, last week we read from John 16:22, and it says that no man can take away your joy. And that's what the Word of God said. Jesus said, no man can take your joy away. And I'll go a step further and say that Satan can't take your joy away either unless you let him. He can't just come up to you and say, I'm going to take the joy. No, you've got to let him take that. And you let him take that by listening to the circumstances, listening to the lies, because he's a liar. And he'll come with you with lies all the time to take your joy. See, he'll come with you lies that say that your life is not going to last. It's all downhill from here. It's all, you know, if you reach this age, you know, all you've got to look at is the age retirement home, and a time of suffering. You know, it's going to get worse from here. And that is exactly against what the Word of God says. And remember, the Word of God says that you should live to 120 years of age. And your eye should not be dim, and you should be full strength. So we're believing a lie from Satan that it's all downhill from here. That your future is going to be worse. Now, your future should be better. Your tomorrow should be better than today. Next year should be better than this year. We are on the increase because of what God does in our life. Now, let's look what the Apostle Paul said when he went through some tribulation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, and I want you to read this because this is pretty, this is a lot of tribulation. And he says, "Are we members of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more than in labors and more abundant. In stripes above measure," this is in whippings, "in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one." 49, so that's a lot. That's 39 stripes. That's five times. Five times he was whipped, 39 times. That's nearly one more and you apparently die. Close to death. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." When he was stoned, he was left for dead. They thought he had died. "I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep." So he was in the ocean for a night and a full day. "In journeys, often in perils in water, in perils of robbers, in perils of from my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils from in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, that's the facts. That's the things, the tribulation that came upon his life. But I want you to see how he describes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says there, I didn't catch up to that. It says, "For our light affliction." He describes that a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, remember I was talking about earlier, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he chose to look at the thing that was not seen. He said that was just a light affliction that God delivered me from. Even though I went through those things, it hardly touched me. It was, he described it as a light affliction. The stonings, the whippings, all those things. He said they were just a light affliction because he was delivered from all of them. And Jesus told him, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad it is." Jesus says to you, "Cheer up. I've overcome for you. I've made a way of escape. This belongs to you." And we need to praise the Lord in these things. And I'll take you to a scripture in Habakkuk. And here it is in Habakkuk. This is a pretty dismal picture. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom." Right? That means there's going to be no, and it says, "no fruit on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stall." These are all the things that says, that means if the fig tree fails to blossom, I don't know if you have any trees in your house, some fruit trees, if they don't blossom, there's no fruit. If they fail to blossom, you're just going to miss out on fruit for that year. You need the blossom, you need that to have so that this fruit comes. Eddie knows all about the bees, he's got heaps of bees, and they go looking for the blossoms so they can pollinate those, so fruit can come. Something happened to the bees or something happened to the blossom that time. And it says there, "nor is any grape on the vine." I mean, there's not going to be any wine for the vintage that year. There's not going to be any vintage that year. To make things worse, despite all the sowing that they've done, the fields yield no vegetables, no grain, nothing is yielding. So what they've done there, all the seed that they've planted, it's gone to waste. There's nothing for next year. All these things are coming to say, there's nothing. This year is written off. One thing upon another thing had happened to them where this, everything's failing. It's not just one. This is what happens. The enemy, when he comes in, it's just not one thing he does. It's multiple things because he wants to discourage you. He'll bring this thing upon you. And before you get a chance to overcome that, it's another thing. And it compounds it with something else. And so you're feeling down and discouraged and poor woe is me. And before it, you've lost your joy. Look at verse 18. It says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord, the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he'll make me to walk on the high places. He's saying, despite the disaster, I'll rejoice in the Lord. See, that's your choice. Your choice is, doesn't matter what the circumstances, I'm going to choose to rejoice. And I'm going to do that. And he's going to cause me to jump. Now, over onto 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. There's a great multitude comprising of the Moabites and the Amorites and other nations that are coming up against Israel. So in that passage there, they're just like a sea of people coming up against Israel. And you've got young King Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah, and with these people. And it's so intimidating that Jehoshaphat is so afraid. He doesn't know what to do. And he says to the people, I'm going to seek the Lord and I want you to proclaim a fast. And so everyone came up to seek the Lord. So all of Judah came up to seek the Lord. And we pick it up in verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the word of the Lord says. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. And this is what the word says to you today. The Lord says to you, don't be afraid. Yes. Don't be afraid of the situation that you're about to come into, or the situation that's coming upon you. Or nor be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Aziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in the battle. You'll not need to fight. Position yourself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And then down to verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness, that they went out before the army, who were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So the enemy started to destroy one another. So Judah came to the place and overlooking the wilderness, and they looked towards the multitude, and they were dead bodies fallen to the earth. No one escaped. When Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil, they found among their abundance of valuables of the dead body, precious jewelry, which they stripped off themselves, and more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. You see, that's what praise will do. What praise will do will turn your situation around. So when you choose to praise the Lord in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of the trouble, he says, I'll fight for you. I'll do this thing for you. So never lose your joy. See, Judah, the word Judah means praise. That's where they got the name from. It means praise. It's interesting that Jesus was from the tribe of Judah to praise. One of the most powerful things you can do is start to praise in the situation. Make a decision to praise. Make a decision to worship no matter what the circumstances are. In the midst of Satan's attacks and tribulation, God says, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, because of the overwhelming odds that stacked up against you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. We've got to look to Him. You know, when fear comes into your life, make a decision to laugh at Satan and his attempts. Do you know God laughs at Satan? He laughs at him. This is what Psalm 2 and verse 4 says. It says, but the one who rules in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. God laughs. He laughs. In the Amplified, it says here in chapter 33, verse 11, and the Lord laughs at the wicked, and he sees that their own day of defeat is coming. See, God laughs at Satan, and so should you. You should laugh. In the middle of an attack, you should begin to laugh at Satan because he's trying to steal your joy. And start to declare the word of the Lord to him and start to say, you know, you can declare words like I do this all the time. 1 John 4, 4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Then I go to Romans 8, 37 and say, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I'm more than a conqueror. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I say to Satan, Revelation 12, 12 says that you know that you only have a short time left. He knows his day's numbered. That's why he's so anxious about trying to steal, kill, and destroy as much as he can. But you tell him, you remind him that his day is numbered and it's only a short time. See, now I start to laugh at the enemy and say, what a feeble attempt you have at trying to steal my stuff. And start to laugh. It's good to laugh, good to rejoice. See, when you do that, when you start to turn those things back on the enemy, he starts to flee from you. Resist the devil. Resist his attempts and he will flee. Start to laugh at him and he'll flee from you. Okay, let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know, the reason why the Lord has encouraged me to bring this whole series to you is because this is the year. I believe that we're going to break through in some things. And the enemy is trying his hardest to get you off course. He's trying his hardest to make you discouraged. He's going to use situations and he's going to use people to bring you back down and to steal your joy. But I believe right now that we're on the verge of launching into something powerful in this area. And so I'm expecting great joy and abundance to come in our lives. And you start to rejoice. Get the word out and confess it. Confess it in the face of the enemy. In the face of every situation, speak it out and watch God come through in your heart, in your life. Lord, I pray your blessing right now upon each and every person. Lord, we declare abundance, we declare victory, and we're going to be of great cheer. Lord, you've overcome the world. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. And we rejoice in the fact that you've overcome for us. Lord, you did it. It's my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We will give you the glory today, Lord. We honor you in these things, in your wonderful name. Amen. I trust you and you got something out of that message today. Coffee will be on very shortly. It's on. I'm not leaving, I'm just going to the bathroom. No, that's right, just through there, to the right.